And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. The book of Revelation tells about many horrible events to occur. Plagues, murders, wars. I believe we're in that great period of tragedy and chaos. Today we're going to talk about terror, horrible, unspeakable almost, terror. Terror that rises up in the hearts of every man, every woman, when they see it in photos, when they read it in print, when they hear it from another human being, when it's true. Today we're going to be talking about truth. I promised you we would be talking about the CIA report of about 6,000 pages that was being looked over, and much of the information in it was being redacted, that is, withheld from view. It's to be turned over by the CIA to Senator Dianne Feinstein, head of the Senate Intelligence Committee. Now, this report, unfortunately, as of right now, has not been released. The Senate and the CIA are still going over it line by line, seeing what they need to censor or delete so you will not know about it, so I will not know about it. Well, I do know about the report. My contacts have told me about the report. And I'm going to tell you today, I'm going to give the names of some people, some I can't, about what is really going on. Now, I want to hasten to tell you that our own president, President Obama, has stated very clearly that we did commit torture. Now, you've been told over the years by George W. Bush, by Dick Cheney, vice president, and by all of the media, including Fox Media, Bill O'Reilly and Sean Hannity and all the other dope heads that don't care enough to tell you the truth, have no respect for you or for me or for America or for our Constitution. You've been told that America does not torture. And when a witness would go on one of their TV or radio programs, and I'm talking about Rush Limbaugh and all of these clods, they would be scorned to shame. They would be told, you're a traitor. You're not an American. You're unfaithful to our country. Don't come on my radio or TV program and claim that people are being tortured. We know that is not true. Americans do not torture. But President Obama has come out now and warned us that this CIA report would be given to the Senate very soon. And in the report, said the president at his news conference, you will see evidence of much torture. So we did commit torture. But, of course, the president said, we won't do it again. It was only from the period after 9/11 for about a decade. But I found out about it and stopped it, he said. My CIA director, John Brennan, I have confidence in him. It won't happen again. Of course, John Brennan was the liar who said Americans are not being spied upon. And at the same time, there were some senators who did not trust what they were being told. They believed there was torture going on, horrible tortures, all the way up to and including murders, and torture that even in the Inquisition was not allowed. That's right. Even in the Inquisition of the Catholic Church in 1100, 1200, 1300, 1400, 1500s was not committed. Even in the darkest eras of the world, when human beings were considered as flies and mosquitoes and horrible things happened, we have exceeded these tortures, these horrors, these monstrosities. And it all happened during your watch and my watch. These things have been done in your name. Now, you can sit back and say Tex is crazy. He doesn't know what he's talking about. I'll wait and get the report for myself. It will be issued very soon, probably. Of course, it started out, 20 or 30,000 words long, or pages, that is, 20 or 1,000 pages. Now it's been pruned down to 6,000 pages. That's about equivalent to 200 books. But it'll probably be pruned down to more, and all of the relevant information that you need to know will be deleted. They'll say there was torture, but they won't go into detail. The people I've talked to who have seen the official documents, who have seen the films, they actually filmed much of this torture, you see, who have spoken to the witnesses, who are the witnesses, who conducted the torture, many of them say they are now frightened. The torturers say, yes, we did torture. We did horrible things. But now I'm afraid for my life. I'm afraid for the life of my wife and kids. I know I did these things. I should be punished for them. The world's laws say that I should be punished, but I won't escape. George W. Bush and Dick Cheney know of the extreme, Rumsfeld, the whole group, they know of these horrors that they've done. They know that there are people out there like Tex Mars that say they should go to prison for them. Or better yet, if they were tried, they would be convicted just like the ones were at Nuremberg. If they were tried for these war crimes, they would all go to the gallows, most probably. And so George W. Bush says, ha, 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 I'm not going to go to the gallows. And Dick Cheney comes out swinging, saying, we committed no torture. And Condoleezza Rice says the same thing. And, of course, so would John Ashcroft if he was still alive. And so would all of these monsters. That's what they are. They're monsters. I don't use these terms because they come easy to me. You will see if what I'm saying is not true. Now, first I want to get to some testimony of such men as Seymour Hersh, H-E-R-S-H. Seymour Hersh is a very famous man. He was the man who exposed the My Lai massacre when hundreds of young children, aged parents, aged grandmothers and grandfathers, innocent civilians, unarmed, were herded together and murdered by U.S. Army personnel, including Lieutenant William Calley. But it was something that was ordered to do, and there were others involved that never got prosecuted. Seymour Hersh found out about this and ended up writing about it. And then the American people simply could not believe it. And finally, William Calley was let go free. He did not pay for his crimes because the American people during the Vietnam War were so incredulous. We were so shocked. The American people refused to believe these things occurred, but of course they did. Seymour Hersh, of course, writes for the New Yorker magazine, and in many of his articles have been published in the New York Times and other publications. He's known as one of the most honest and courageous writers in the entire world. And many in the Defense Department and the military have gone to him with details. And he then has been writing some, at least, but even he has been shut up recently on what I'm telling you today. But let me tell you what Seymour Hersh talked about in a keynote speech to the ACLU back in 2004. He said, you know, John Stewart, the man on Comedy Network, had one of his mock news broadcasters say, very seriously to the camera on the Stewart Show. He said, "The important thing is not that we commit torture and abuses. It's that we're a country that doesn't condone torture and abuse." And everybody laughed. Hirsch said, "That's a wonderful line, isn't it? When the president or vice president or the Defense Department head or any other of these monsters is asked, do we commit torture and abuses? They divert the question by saying, we're a country that doesn't condone torture and abuses. Condone. In other words, we do it, but we don't condone it." Now, let's talk about what Hirsch calls a bad bargain. He says, in fact, that there is much torture that has gone on, horrible things that we've done. We've probably tortured more people and caused more human suffering and death than any other country has in the entire world in all of human history. Please don't talk to me about Attila the Hun or Genghis Khan or the Roman Caesars. We have exceeded them in our tortures, and yet we claim to be a democratic, humanitarian, even a Christian country. This is not so. We blaspheme Jesus Christ by saying this is a Christian country. It is not. It is a country that is more murderous, more lying, and has more propaganda than any other nation that ever existed, and hires thousands of psychiatrists and psychologists and other behavioral experts to learn how to propagandize the people and deceive us even more. And we're all in a network, like in a cage of propaganda and lies. You think you're free, but you're not. Woe is the person who, believing himself to be free, is caught in this horrible vice of deceit and dishonesty. Mr. Hirsch says, "You and I have no expectation they're not going to do the same thing to you and I and our family as they have done to millions of others over the last 10 or 20 years. We know that we cannot conduct our life and affairs in a reasonable way because at any time the government could interrupt us and take you away and end up torturing you and murdering you and then going on to murder your family, your wife and your children, and they will not be called to account for it." He says, this is the situation that we're in right now. You have no expectation this will not happen to you. And I believe sincerely this will happen. Paul Craig Roberts, who was a member of the Reagan administration, is older now, but he keeps writing essays online. Paul Craig Roberts, warning people that we're a lying, propagandistic country, condoning murder, condoning lies, international lies, and torture. And he says in his last essay, this is a man that is not a scaremonger. He's not a fearmonger, but he wrote the last line in it. It shocked me so much. It shocked me what Paul Craig Roberts, a man I greatly respect, said. He said, get ready to die. Get ready to die. You have no expectation of anything but death and torture in the future from this government. It's a bad bargain, says Seymour Hirsch. Let's look at where we are. Take Henry Kissinger. He says, who for all of his genius lied like most of us breathe. But he's one of the least today. What does the government have the right to do? Seymour Hirsch asks. They have the right, and I'm quoting him, to send our children, men and women now, in the name of democracy, to go kill people and be killed and torture and perhaps be tortured in return, which is always going to be the end result of torture. And he says, we must hold these people to the highest possible standards. But that's impossible because they lie, they're criminals, they're psychopaths. You are being led by a bunch of psychopaths. And if you don't understand they're psychopaths, then you are a psychopath. This is not an academic debate. This is not what they talk about in the hallways of the ivory towers of universities. This is real. What happened are war crimes, he says. Quote, what we have had is a series of massive crimes, criminal activity by the president and the vice president, by this administration. I can say that, he said. He had the proof, the documentation. And it's even worse than he can tell you. He says it's worse. The government knows it's much worse than they've even told you. There are worse photos, worse videotapes, worse events. How much can the government tell you? Well, they've decided there's all these things they can't tell you. They can't tell you what happened at Guantanamo. They will not tell you what happened at Abu Ghraib prison in Iraq or at Diego Garcia Air Force Base or at one of 20 or 30 gulags spread across the world because they've been bringing people on extraordinary renditions, arresting them, American citizens, taking them, torturing them, killing them. If they told you that, then you'd demand justice, and they would be brought up and held accountable, and they would go to prison, and they would be charged with horrible war crimes, and they would be so embarrassed and dead. They don't want to die. So that we have hundreds and hundreds of Americans at the highest level, president, vice president, secretary of defense, congressmen, senators, who are all liars, who are murderers, who need to be brought up, but they say we don't want the American people to know, or the American people will make us accountable. Well, Seymour Hersh asked, is this a bunch of cultists? Have we got a Manson cult? Charles Manson cult at the highest levels? We can't call it a Charles Manson cult, can we? I mean, they look so much more respectable. They wear nice suits. They're in the Pentagon. Or they wear four stars brass on their uniforms. But he says, here's what we have. A bunch of guys, eight or nine neoconservatives, cultists. What is a neoconservative? It's a Jew who used to be a Trotskyite or a communist who claimed they're conservative today, and they're in the top echelons of U.S. government, and they took over in the Bush administration, and now they're controlling Obama, and they had power during the Clinton administration, so it's been over many years this has been happening. They're not Charles Manson cultists, but they are cultists, says Seymour Hersh. And they believe in permanent revolution. And they believe in wars in the Middle East. And they think you and I are crazy for not wanting and loving and embracing and kissing war. We actually should have sexual intercourse with war. They love it. They've taken the government over, says Seymour Hersh. That's a quote from him. And what's amazing to me, this is Seymour Hersh speaking, and what really is troubling is how fragile our democracy is. Look what has happened to us. Look at the press, he says. No one has to tell the press what they can say and what they can't say. They censor themselves, he says. They know horrible things are going on. They also don't want to reveal them to you. They don't want the horrible judgment coming down on their heads too for having covered up for so many years, and they are self-censoring. They've also muzzled the whole bureaucracy of government. They muzzled, I'm quoting Seymour Hersh, they've muzzled the military, they've muzzled the Congress. The NSA knows everything that every congressman says, every phone conversation, every internet letter they've ever sent, and they know what crooks and sexual perverts these people are, and they're all being blackmailed. That's the reason for the NSA. That's the reason for their vast billion, multi-billion, multi-billion dollar apparatus. And if you speak out against the government, your name goes on their list, and then they start investigating you. Have you ever had sex with a woman outside of marriage? Have you ever cheated on your taxes? Have you ever done anything illegal? They'll find out, and they'll come to see you, and then you better shut your mouth. And if you don't, you'll end up in a gulag prison over in Saudi Arabia or in Czechoslovakia or in Cuba, and you will be tortured and you might be put to death and your family will be shut up forever. Oh, they can't do that in America. They can't. They wouldn't do that. That would be wrong. Why, this is a democratic country. I have my rights. I have my 10 amendments to the Bill of Rights. You have nothing, friends. Seymour Hersh said it right. You have an expectation of nothing. How can TechSmart say these things? How can I get away with these things? Because they're true. Why am I not in prison? Because I've got God on my side. I'll be in prison whenever God says, and not when some measly man says. God may pull everything tonight with this radio program. He may say, it's all over for you, Tex. You've gone too far now. Your time is up. Good. That's all right. I've got eternal life. I have the Prince of Goodness, the Prince of Light, the Prince of Life on my side. I don't need government. I don't have any expectation of living any longer than I've lived now. I've lived 70 years. Probably past whatever most men should have. I've had a great life for 70 years because about 54 of it has been knowing Jesus Christ. Now, I've done some things wrong in my life and I'm sorry for them, but I've been forgiven. But I've never tortured anyone. I've never killed anyone. I've never hated anyone, contrary to some people's opinion of me. Let's go on now and go past. He has so much to say. Let me go quickly in his speech to what he said about Abu Ghraib. Remember at Abu Ghraib, they found atrocities going on. And of course, all of these were covered up by our generals, by our diplomats, and by the President of the United States, who knew they were going on, who had seen pictures, videotapes of this torture. Now, let me just read to you what Hersh says here. What they did at Abu Ghraib, and by the way, he saw the videotapes. Military men secretly, covertly have shown him these things. What they did at Abu Ghraib and other places was, the people they would get, they would torture. And sometimes, for an Arab man, being photographed without clothes on, in the Quran, you're not allowed this. Your front body cannot be exposed. And to be exposed that way and to be forced to simulate sexual activity with other males and have women give the thumbs up sign is the ultimate degradation. It's literally any classic definition of it's torture. Torture isn't always physical. It's a torturous process. And the purpose of it, of course, is to generate information. So what do you get? You get people that know nothing. They found, he said, that the people they tortured knew nothing. They actually had nothing to do with the insurgency. So you take these people, you expose them to the ridicule and physical torture, and they end up telling you. Yes, they'll give you the names of people in their neighborhood that are Al-Qaeda or terrorists. They give you names. And of course, they're just names. They're just doing it to keep you from torturing them anymore. And then you go out and you arrest those people that they've named and you bring them in and you start the torture process with them. And the circle gets bigger and bigger and bigger until soon we're torturing thousands and we think we're accomplishing something. But we're getting no reliable information. And that's what the CIA report has said. That's what Senator Feinstein has already said. Even before she released the 6,000 redacted page report, she says their conclusion is all this torture, all these horrible things they've done, and they didn't get one bit of reliable information. They have not stopped one terrorist act, not one. Now, friends, if the truth be known, they also, these monsters did 9/11. With Saudi Arabia cooperating with them, with Pakistan, and yes, certainly with Israel. And so they use 9/11 as a pretext to start this torture process, to start these extraordinary renditions. And after years of all of this process, they've got nothing except scarred lives. Hundreds of thousands of people dead. mutilated, raped, sodomized. Some of the worst things that happened, and this is Seymour Hersh talking, are on videos. There are women there. At Abu Ghraib, which is about 30 miles from Baghdad, the women sent messages out to their families saying, please come and kill me because of what has happened to me. You see, would your mother, would your daughter say these things? Would your sister? If they had raped her, if they had sodomized her, and she was innocent, she had done nothing, and maybe she's 13, 14 years old, maybe 19, maybe 40. Would your mother write back to you and say, please come and kill me? After what they've done to me, I have nothing to live for. That's what these young women did. You may say they're not human beings. They're Iraqis. They're some other nationality. Maybe they're... Jesus said, whosoever will may come. That doesn't mean just you and me as Americans. We should have been reaching these people with the gospel. We didn't go with the Bible. We went with bullets and prison cells. And we're still doing it today. Because once you start this process, you have to continue it. And don't tell me, Mr. Obama, you're not torturing right now. You are. Women were forced to have sex with young boys, even their own sons. Children. Little boys were sodomized, and they took pictures that they took film of it. And these films were sent and were viewed by George Bush and Dick Cheney and Donald Rumsfeld, who know of this torture. The boys were sodomized with the cameras rolling, says Seymour Hersh. And the worst above all of them is the soundtrack of the little boys shrieking out. They're in total terror, little boys being sodomized by adults, military men, CIA agents. And they're shrieking, they're screaming out, America, the land of democracy, has come to make us free, to give us a free democratic government. And what are they doing to me? They're sodomizing me. Land of the free, and what are they doing to me? Your government has done this. Total terror, says Seymour Hersh. It's impossible to say to yourself, how did we get there? Who are we? Who are these people that we sent out there? Who are they? They're Americans. He said, when I did My Lai, I was very troubled. Like anybody in their right mind would be about what happened. In the end, I said the people that did the killing were as much victims as the people they killed. Because of the scars they've had. No, 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 no. These people don't have scars. They're psychopaths. When you're ordered to kill and you don't want to do it and you're told you must do it and you do it, you may have scars and you may have to live with that, your conscience. These people don't have conscience. They don't have souls. And he said written complaints were made to the highest officers. We're dealing with an enormous, massive amount of criminal wrongdoing that was covered up at the highest command by the biggest superpower on earth. Why did we do it? Because we could. Why have we covered it up? Because we could. Why don't you know anything about it? Because they knew they could bamboozle you, pull the wool over your eyes. Well, I'm telling you, get it off, take it out, be free. Be a free man. In Christ Jesus, there is liberty because he is the teller of truth. Are you a truth teller? Are you a truth bearer? We shall see. I'll be right back, friends, after this brief message. I'm Tex Mars. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. This is Tex Mars. My friends, I want to tell you about a need that we have, and it's a great need. As you know, we have a project that we support here in the ministry. We help the kids and some of the house parents. But the boys and girls from the age of 2 or 3 up to, 18, they go into high school, to college at the Texas Children's Home. We take up an offering, and it is now that I want to ask you to give to this offering. I do this once a year, and I pledge to you again, by my honor, not 1 cent of what you give for these kids will go to this ministry. Not 1 cent will be used for administration. Not 1 cent will go to anybody but directly to the kids. We don't even give it to the children's home for their administration. We give it directly to the kids. Now, we have just given, I think it's $75 each. To how many kids, Jerry? I think there were, we'll give you the exact number in a letter to you, but I think there was like 30 kids, 40-something, okay. I'm sorry, I don't have the exact number, but we require them to give us a list of the kids, and we process these $75 love gifts for each kid, and we give them a gift certificate to Walmart or Target or somebody like that, and we do it right about 2 weeks before school when they have this non-tax day here in Texas. And we've already heard back from the house mothers and fathers, and they say the kids were absolutely thrilled out of their mind. Now, $75 may not seem like much to you, friends, but they're able to buy clothes, a new dress, a new pair of pants, shoes. They're able to buy school supplies, a little backpack. They've got $75. They can go buy whatever they want to at Target or Walmart. And they can go to school, be as proud as the other kids. They're already at a great disadvantage. They have no parents that take care of them. They're in this children's school, and they go to public school. They put them in public school, and they pick them up every day. And you know they must be ostracized probably, and it's a terrible thing for them. But we give them clothes and school supplies. So they start out like the other kids do. Now, when I was a child, I was very poor. I remember one time in all my years in school, up to the time I graduated from high school, when up to the ninth grade, let's say, when I think my mother, right before school, came home from the store she had gone to, and she had bought me a couple pairs of pants and a couple of shirts and a new pair of shoes and some socks. And I was like, out of my mind. I said, I'm going to be able to dress up like new for school. One time she did that. Well, we've done this to these kids for several years now. And you know, at Christmas time, we also have a offering and help them as well. Well, I want you to know we're going to continue this. Every cent you send us goes into that great mission. I don't care if some of you want to give directly, give to the Texas Children's. I will give you the address if you ask us for it. We've had some do that, but we will be your agent and we'll take care of it. And we have this project and we're very glad of this. This was Wanda, my wife's idea, and she came to me with it, and I said, great, let's do it. We also help the kids that graduate from high school every year. I don't know whether they're going to go on to get a job or they're going to go out of that orphan's home and maybe go to college, just a few of them. And we give them a little gift, $50 or so, to start off with. And as we can, we help the orphan's home as well. Now, this last year, we didn't have enough money in Power of Prophecy, but we took it out of Bible Home Church. So if you give to Bible Home Church, maybe that would be good for that too. But right now we want to ask you to give to Power of Prophecy. And when you give, please designate whatever money you give to the children's home. Now make out your checks to TexMars or to Power of Prophecy. Either one, TexMars or Power of Prophecy. But in the little, down every check has a little four, F-O-R at the bottom, little line, put for the children, for the kids. for the Texas Children's Home. You let us know. We watch very carefully, and we make up a list. We put all of those checks, all of those money orders, and cash, if you send cash, we'll all put it in a separate account. And every cent will be accounted for, and every cent will go toward these kids. How about that? I told you about some years ago, what made me cry was the little person who wrote and said, "Thank you, Mr. Mars." I went to Walmart, and it was very cold. We had we just had a big cold snap that came early that year. She said, "I was so happy. I bought a jacket, a coat, and I didn't know what I was going to do. My old coat didn't fit me anymore. I didn't know what I was going to do. And then your money came to me, and I was able to buy me a new coat." I thought of a coat. Have you ever been to school and you had to go without a coat? You wore maybe a short sleeve shirt even, or a T-shirt, but without a coat, I did. I didn't have a coat. I didn't have a jacket. I didn't even have a sweater. And the teacher sometimes would rail at me, "Where's your coat, Tex?" I forgot it. I lied. I was 6, 7, 8 years old. I shouldn't have lied, but I did. I was so embarrassed. Everybody had a coat, but I didn't even have a jacket. "Well, don't forget tomorrow," she said. What was I going to do the next day? I snuck in the classroom, hid behind other kids, trying to appear like I was nobody. I didn't want her to see. I didn't bring my coat again. I didn't have one. You will accomplish more than you know. And sometimes, if you give, you won't even know the end result of it until you get to heaven. And I don't want to be dramatic, but it could be. It could be that someday when you get to heaven, somebody's going to come to you and say, "You know, you don't know it, but I was helped by you. I was at that home. I was helped. I got school supplies. I got clothes to wear. I was helped by you. Thank you." Or maybe they won't say anything to you, but maybe Jesus will. Maybe Jesus will say, "Come in, my faithful servant. I want to thank you for helping one of these little ones." The little ones are very important to Jesus, and they're important to us too. So please give. Now, if you give to this ministry, we need money too to keep going, I'll tell you. We need help, but if you give to both the ministry and to the children's home, please designate. Say, for example, write a check for $50 love gift and say, "Okay, $30 goes to your ministry and $20 goes to the children's home." Designate how much you want to go to the ministry and the children's home. If you want to give it all to the children's home, okay. If it's $1, $2, $1,000, I don't know what it's going to be, please give. Now, if you're an old-timer like me and you're on Social Security and you can't afford it, I'll understand that. I'll understand that. It's okay. It's okay. You got to have food to eat. You got to have utilities. Winter's coming. That's all right. That's all right. But there's some of you out there that do have money, that put money aside, and you know you've got it for your inheritance or whatever, and you know there's a certain amount of it you can give. Please do. If God moves your heart, please do. Okay, here's where to send your money. Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road. Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road. Patterson Road. Austin, Texas, 78733. Phone us toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. Or you can go online to powerofprophecy.com or textmars.com. We have a place there where you can actually make a donation. Look for it. Give your love gift. Now, when you buy something, you buy something. That's not a love gift. But what you do to give over and above what you buy, that's the love gift. So if a book is $20 and you pay for that $20 and you pay $5 shipping, that's $25. If you give $50 and $25 of it, the excess goes for love gift. But the other one, well, we have to pay the bills and everything. Sort of the way the income tax service works, as you know, we're not tax exempt. Well, we should be. We deserve to be. But the IRS has told me I can't preach what I want to preach, what Jesus tells me to preach. I've got to censor myself. Hey, folks, I'm not going to censor myself. They say, you can't get involved in this government stuff. Yes, I can. I can do whatever Jesus tells me to do. I can work for you instead of them. And that's why I told them they can take my nonprofit status and, you know, they put it where, I don't know, wherever they want to put it. That's it. That's it. And I got so many letters thanking me for not being tax exempt by the government. I don't want the government's favors. They should never tax any church, any Christian ministry. It's not their job to run around taxing us. I mean, they don't tax Planned Parenthood. They don't tax the abortionists. They don't tax the Freedom From Religion, the atheist group, but they tax us. Well, let them. They're satanic. They're Satan's people, the IRS. Let them do whatever they wish. We're going to go on doing the way we want to do it. We pay every tax dollar that we have to, and no more. But we're going to pay that. And that's the way it is. I hope you agree with me. If you don't agree with me on that, I'm sorry. I do love you anyway. I do love you. I do love you. But I'm still going to follow God. Now let's return to our regular program. We're looking today at murder, assassination, torture, sodomization, all done in your name by your government and mine. Now, I suspect you didn't know about these things before. I suspect you trusted our leaders. I suspect you said, well, this can't be. We've all got rights. And certainly, they told us they were doing all these things for democracy. That's why we were in the Middle East. That's why we were having all of these spy agencies, and that's why we have all these gulag prison camps around the world. In fact, you probably are saying, I didn't even know we had those gulag camps. I understand you're not guilty until you find out about it, and then you're guilty. Now, when these things came out at Abu Ghraib, the House and Senate called up the presidential leaders. They called the Defense Department Secretary, Donald Rumsfeld, to come and testify. And he went. Now, let me read to you from CNN, a report by John Byrne and David Edwards about how they lied. They lied. They covered up all the details of what they had been doing. In fact, they lied on CNN. Now, Major General Antonio Taguba, Major General Antonio Taguba, was in a May 6, 2004 meeting with Donald Rumsfeld and the Undersecretary of Defense, Paul Wolfowitz, and the top brass at the Pentagon. Now, this general said, quote, I described the naked detainee lying on the wet floor, handcuffed, with an interrogator shoving things up his rectum. And I said, that's not abuse, that's torture, Taguba said. And there was quiet. They didn't agree with him, so he left, and they continued on with their torture. The following day, Rumsfeld testified before the House Armed Services Committee. He said, now listen to this, these false crocodile tears. Listen to this liar. He said, it breaks our hearts that, in fact, someone didn't say, this is terrible, look. Rumsfeld said, we need something to manage this. We just didn't know this was happening. You know, I didn't know. The president didn't know. And somebody leaked this secret report to the press, and here I am. I didn't know. The president didn't know. None of us knew this stuff. But here we see that Major General Antonio Taguba had a meeting with them and told them about it. And they did nothing. Hirsch says, it's sort of ridiculous. Everybody at the top knew. Everybody at the top knew. Even Wolf Blitzer over at the CNN said the president addressed this fully. Listen to him lying. The president saw these pictures on TV and was upset by them. He didn't know. Yeah, sure he didn't know. Now, President Obama now says on August the 2nd, 2014, quote, on TV on a press conference. This is just a couple weeks back. He said, quote, this is going to be real homey, folks. Listen to this now. We tortured some folks. We did things that were contrary to our values. In the immediate aftermath of 9/11, we did some things that were wrong.
Uh-huh.
We tortured some folks. But we don't do it anymore, he said. He mentioned a 6,000-page study by the CIA yet to be made public. But Senator Dianne Feinstein knew of it. She's a chairperson of the intelligence panel. She says it's, quote, chilling. She said that torture is, quote, far more systematic and widespread than we thought. Let's go over that again. Senator Dianne Feinstein knew about all this torture. She knew what was going on. She's lied to us for years. But now that this report is fixing to come out, and listen to me, there are some good people in the CIA. There are some good people in military uniform, and they are mad as wet hens. And they've been releasing all these things in little bits and drips for years, and no one would print it. No one would report on it. And Fox News told them, you're un-American. You're not patriot. But now this report's going to come out. Why is this report coming out? Why is the CIA forced to do this report? And now they're redacting it, trying to take out all the stuff that they know are going to get people in trouble. They don't want to name this name and this name and this name. They don't want to tell you about all those things. Obama doesn't want to go to prison. Bill Clinton doesn't want to go to prison. Hillary Rodham Clinton doesn't want to go to prison. George W. Bush, all of them. John Brennan, head of the CIA, doesn't. And Mueller, head of the FBI, and all of them. They're all guilty. And Dianne Feinstein now admits this is a chilling report. Why doesn't she release it? She's had it for weeks and weeks and months, and she's been holding on. They keep redacting more and more information. Pretty soon it's going to be coming out. The 6,000 pages are going to shrink down to 3 or 4. We tortured some folks. Folks? Folks? Who are folks? Now, I'm from the South. I'm from Texas. When we talk about the folks, we're talking about friends. You don't torture friends. You don't torture some folks. Obama added, that's what that report reflects. That's what that report reflects. Now, the Senate Intelligence Committee staff can work with the CIA to doomsday. But Dianne Feinstein is a filthy, dirty liar when she says, we didn't know. And now she says this report is chilling. And it shows that we've tortured, the torture system that we've had is, quote, far more systematic and widespread than we thought. Now, initially, when the Senate Intelligence Committee began to complain about the CIA and said they've done all these horrible things to commit torture and such, and the senators of the Intelligence Committee have been investigating this, and they've been spying on us, the CIA. Mr. Brennan and his boys have been spying on us. They're spying on the U.S. Senate. Of course they are. The NSA does it. The CIA does it. They know everything that goes on. They spy on Angela Merkel over in Germany, on Mr. Cameron, and head of the government in Great Britain. They know everything that happens. And John Brennan came out before this report, of course. This is about a year back when Senator Feinstein claimed that Brennan and the CIA were spying on the U.S. Senate. Listen to what he said. I am deeply dismayed that some members of the Senate have decided to make spurious allegations about CIA actions that are wholly unsupported by the facts. That's what he said to initially counter the senator's claim. I am deeply dismayed that they're lying about the CIA. This is unsupported by the facts. We haven't been spying on the U.S. Senate. They were trying to find out what the Senate knew. How much does the Senate know about our torture? What have they found out on their own? About all these leakers out there, about all these people that have been telling what's been going on. How much do they know? They've been trying to find out how much the Senate knew, so when they put in this report, and evidently they're being forced to give the report by whom, I don't know. There's somebody that's forcing this report. Somebody knows something. I'm not sure of just who, but we have friends in government. Believe me, we have some friends in government that are still truthful. Not many, but a few. And they've got enough power to force the CIA to do this report. That's good news, folks. That's good news. Well, now the Office of Inspector General of the CIA concludes that the CIA people, quote, acted in a manner inconsistent with the common understanding. What was the common understanding? Well, we don't torture at the CIA, and we don't spy on senators. That was the common understanding that they planted in the minds of the public. Mr. Brennan planted it in the minds of the public. But the CIA's Office of Inspector General now says they acted in a manner inconsistent with the common understanding. Let me give you that in plain English. They lied. They lied. They told a dirty red lie. But that's okay, because according to Senator Saxby Chambliss, Republican of Georgia, who's vice chairman of the committee, the CIA has apologized for spying on us. They've apologized. And President Obama says, quote, I have full confidence in John Brennan. Folks, these are not crimes if nobody pays for them, if nobody is held accountable. Now we're going to get a simple little report with all these redactions in it. We're not going to know who did what, when, to whom. And John Brennan stays in office. He's the one that conducted a lot of this torture. He should be in prison. Now, why do I say he should be in prison? President Ronald Reagan signed a treaty legally requiring the United States to prosecute everyone who authorizes torture or who even knows of it, who doesn't report it. He passed a law. Congress passed a law, and President Reagan signed it. It's called the Convention Against Torture and Other Cruel, Inhuman, or Degrading Treatment or Punishment. It was signed by the United States. It's a treaty, in fact. And according to the Constitution, treaties become law. Let me tell you what it says. Article 2 of this American law says, each state party, that's the United States, shall take effective legislative, administrative, judicial, or other measures to prevent acts of torture in any territory under its jurisdiction. Did we prevent this? Did we take effective measures to prevent this? No. We took effective measures to do it. To commit horrible crimes of sodomy, murder, sexual perversions, and on and on and on. Listen to what Article 2 says. No exceptional circumstances whatsoever, whether a state of war or a threat or war, internal political instability, or any other public emergency may be invoked as a justification of torture. Now, this is what I heard Bill O'Reilly and Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh and all of them say. We had to do it because, you know, we could have had another 9/11. These terrorists could have got to us. They could have killed people. Oh, and we had to do it over in Iraq because blah, 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 blah. What does this Article 2 say? No exceptional circumstances whatsoever. Not a state of war, not a threat of war, not internal political instability, no other political or public emergency may be invoked as a justification of torture. They had no excuse. There is no excuse. None. Article 3 says an order from a superior officer or a public authority may not be invoked as a justification of torture. So he's the commander-in-chief. He's a filthy, dirty torturer who's breaking the law. That's what he was. You military people out there, what have you done? You CIA agents, what have you done? You've broken the law. And all of you press people that knew about this, you got pictures of it. You got reports of it, and you shelved them, and you didn't tell anybody about it. You are a criminal. Article 4 says each state party shall ensure that all acts of torture or offenses under its criminal law. The same shall apply to an attempt to commit torture and to an act by any person which constitutes complicity or participation in torture. Now this isn't some non-binding I'm reading a Truth and Freedom report now by my good friends at Truth and Freedom Ministries. They say this is not some non-binding, touchy-feely resolution. It's the law of the land. And ratification of this convention, this treaty by the United States, clearly expressed United States opposition to torture, an abhorrent practice, which has never worked, never worked. I want to repeat again, never worked, never been effective. Now, the core provisions of this treaty establish a regime for international cooperation in the criminal prosecution of torturers. Each state party, that's the United States of America, is required to prosecute torturers. It is required to torture, to prosecute torturers who are found in its territory. And if we won't try them, then we must extradite them to other countries for prosecution. Now, there are numerous documented cases of prisoners being tortured to death. There's one case of an Iraqi general that was put into a sleeping bag and then stomped on. When they took him out, well, he was dead. Well, that's one less. Of course, there's the American soldier. He and his compadres went into a house where he saw a pretty Iraqi girl. He raped her. He killed all her family and raped her. And he said in his trial, yes, he was tried, I didn't consider her as a human being. Yeah, you did. You raped her. You consider her as a human being. You're a monster. There's never been any precedent in World War II, the Korean War, the Vietnam War, or any other, where the prisoners were presumed to be unlawful combatants. That's what we're told. Oh, well, these terrorists, they're not prisoners of war. They're unlawful combatants. There's no such precedent. There's no such law that talks about them being unlawful combatants. That's a nonsense statement. Torture is a crime. Now, they said, well, we did waterboard, but that's all. That's all we've done is waterboard. That's the worst. No, that's not the worst. You've had a father and a son commit sodomy on each other. A father and a son. That's what the CIA made them do. And they're men and women forced to do all kind of horrible sex acts together just for your pleasure. And many of them were killed later so they wouldn't tell. Others went home and begged their families to kill them. We didn't commit torture, though. No, you didn't, did you? It is critical we hold those who did these things, who covered up these things, to be put on trial. We must prosecute them. General Ricardo Sanchez, the former top commander in Iraq, has called for a truth commission to find out about these people and to prosecute them. Former President Jimmy Carter has been calling for a truth commission. Even Colin Powell, who went along with these things, has said that Dick Cheney is guilty of war crimes for overseeing these torture policies. There's no defense. There's no defense. We've waited for years. It's time, folks. And we can't let this happen again. We've got, I don't know what the answer is, but we've got to get together. We've got to put our minds to this. We got brilliant people out there listening to this program. We've got lawyers. We've got doctors. We've got, plumbers, a lot of smart plumbers out there, carpenters. We've got people with brains, men, women. Let's find out what we can do here. Let's get citizens' commissions together. Let's hold these people accountable. We won't have any more of this. Not in our name. Not in my name. Not in your name. Not in the name of the United States of America. This has been Tex Mars, friends. And you have been listening to another report on Power of Prophecy. And it's my prayer you will tune in each week during this same time and discover the power of prophecy.